Hello everyone and welcome to the Property Investment Blueprint Podcast. Imagine being able to earn passive income, build generational wealth whilst gaining total freedom from your business or job. That is what Property Investment Blueprint Podcast is all about. I am your host, Rahim Bah. In less than 5 years, I was able to start my property investment journey from zero to building a multi-million pound property investment portfolio that generates passive income that allows my wife and I to quit our jobs. And now I want to show you how to do the same. I will share with you how to create wealth without creating a job. You will learn the exact same investment strategies I use to multiply my net worth to over seven figures all before the age of 30. If you want to learn all about low-risk property investing, achieve financial freedom, and live the life you truly desire, this podcast is going to show you exactly how to do it. Hey guys, it's Rahim. Welcome back to the Property Investment Blueprint Podcast. In today's podcast, I have Moses Naloka. Moses is a high performance coach who helps clients to level up in their life and businesses by removing self-sabotage beliefs and helping them solve burning problems. Thank you for being in Property Investment Blueprint Podcast, Moses. How are you?
I'm doing really fantastic and thank you for having me. Finally, we made it.
We did. We've been literally going back and forth. We were both busy, but I'm delighted to have you on. So thank you for making that time for us. So Moses, what is your contact from your earliest years? I need to understand Moses Naloka.
First of all, have we got 40 years? Because that's how long it will take. But I'm going to try to make it really short and summarize it. Well, I was born in Uganda, and my family moved to Italy when I was age 5 or 6, okay. And we moved to Italy, so I did all my primary, secondary, high school, and university education right in Italy. And talking about my background, I grew up in a Christian family with strong values. And one thing my mom always told me is never settle for mediocrity. So never try to be average. So this has been a kind of drive in my life. Mm-hmm. Always never settle for mediocrity. And that's also what I brought into my first book. I'm an author of two books. And in this first book, I talk about my philosophy of more. You see, we have been created with a purpose to give. Mm-hmm. And most of us who live our lives on a such a level of mediocrity that we never hit the greatness we have been created for. Mm-hmm. And if you say, hey, Moses, but it's easy for you talking about that. You travel around the world, you speak, you know all these people. I'm an ordinary person. Let me tell you something. You are not an ordinary person. The reason is, if you think about it, you are born as a champion. Give you a scientific reason. Yeah. When you were conceived, there were at least another 400 million to a billion who are competing to come into this world. Yeah. And you, only you made it. So you are born with something which is special. You are born with something which I like to call greatness. Correct. And when we come to this world, suddenly we get so busy in this fog called life, and we focus on more on the obstacles that we forget our nature of greatness. Mm-hmm. So coming back to my life, to my history, and to where everything started from. Well, I believe everything started from the moment when I started asking my question, but what's the reason why I'm here on earth? Am I here on earth just to pay bills and just live a life which has no impact, no significance? Mm-hmm. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't mean that for you to have an impact in life, you need to go on stages and stadiums and speak and do. Any one of us is called to greatness. No matter if you are a janitor, if you are a cleaner, if you are a bus driver, there is a purpose for the reason why you are here on earth. And this has been my obsession since I was a teenager.
Fantastic.
What's the difference that makes the difference? How come in life we can have a great Nelson Mandela? We can have Maria, Mother Teresa. How come? How come? How come our life can be so impactful? Yet we come from a struggle, from a difficult background. How is that possible? So I've been always fascinated by this question. And I always wanted my life to be a life of impact. And I truly believe, that's why this has become my mission. I truly believe that each one of us needs to spend more time going back to discover what's the purpose they are here on earth, rather than worrying of what situation is going on in their day-to-day life.
Fantastic.
So my background is that.
I love that. I love it. I love it, Moses. But could you take us back? How was your childhood like? How are you growing up? What are the stuff you used to do? What really triggers you to do what you're doing right now? Take us back when you are very young.
When I was very young, so first of all, when I go back to my childhood, one of the tragic memories I have is the moment when my family went through a terrible loss. And I wish no parent should go through that. You see, my mom and my dad had to let go and say goodbye to their beloved son, Joshua, my brother, who was 1 year difference of age with me. And he passed away through a car accident. And this, the person who was driving the car didn't even stop. And at the end of the day, they found that he was under alcohol substances. So he was drunk, literally driving. And one of the memories I have is of when my dad, at that time he was in Paris, came back to Kampala in Uganda. And that's one of the memories when I saw my dad, and I remember him vulnerable, literally crying, and three other men were holding him. And you see, the reason I'm talking about this loss in my family is because that was a moment that turned around a lot of things. I was only five. And this moment in my life turned things around, because that's the moment when the relationship between my mom and my dad started kind of bending down. What do I mean by that? My mom was needing a support, a man to be there, and my dad was feeling guilty that he could not take care of his family and take care of his son, protect his own son. So this created barriers in them. And one of the most important elements I learned, and which now are helping me, is the importance of communication in a family, and how some traumas can then reflect in our elder age. And at the same time, that's the moment where I saw I think is the biggest moment of forgiveness I have ever witnessed in my life, where my mom forgave the guy who killed his own son. And actually, I'm completing a book on forgiveness, which is going to be talking about this topic. But anyway, my childhood was, apart from this tragic moment, was, I can consider, a beautiful childhood. My mom always raised us up to strive for the top, to strive for the best, and to fight for it, work for it, desire it, see it, envision it, and work step by step towards it. And growing up in Italy, as probably I've been always the only black guy in every level of education I've been to. So I never want anybody to undermine me. I'm reminded of the words of Les Brown when his teacher told him, someone's opinion should never become your reality. So as I was growing up and I was listening to all these great speakers, I made this my own mantra. I will not allow anybody to defy my odds. Actually, I'm going to defy the odds which may be against me. So I worked so hard to be the best in eloquency, in speaking, in presenting, in doing my exams, in performing, always trying to be the best.
Wow.
And where I could not be the best, learn from who has already achieved it. Because you see, the reason why I joined also personal development is because you can concentrate 20, 30, 40, 50 years of experience. You can condense it in a very short period of time and get the juicy part and learn from the mistakes of others. So this is what has been literally driving me. And fast forwarding, when I was at uni, I realized
just before
I
we get to uni, sorry, I've got another question that I'm literally craving to ask. Does any lack of money grow up shape your view about money today?
Yes. Yes. For example, I remember when I was a kid and all my other fellow mates were buying the wonderful Nike shoes. Actually, there's a chapter in my book where I talk about the first Nike shoes in 1995. These were my dream shoes. I loved those shoes. I wanted them. And I went to my dad and said, "Hey, Dad, I want those shoes. They're amazing. I mean, they're the Nike Air Max, the first pair of Nike Air Max." And the first response of my dad is, "Oh, we can't afford it. Too expensive. Too expensive." So what happened? My dad had an impact in me that built in me a pattern of scarcity. We can't afford it. It's too expensive. It's too expensive. It's too expensive. Meanwhile, my mom was the opposite. My mom was, well, at the moment, it's not the right thing to do. It doesn't fit the budget. So my mom was budgeting and planning. My dad was immediately, no, we can't afford it. We can't do it. So I can tell right now that there was a lot of grace, because there were moments where we didn't have money at home.
Wow.
But yet, my mom never made it a weight on our shoulders. She was always kind of covering it up. And one of the greatest lessons I learned from my mom is always plan for the next step. Now, everybody now talks of planning for the rainy days. I don't like that, because if you're planning for the rainy days, it means you are going towards rainy days. You're focusing on rainy days. You're searching for rainy days. And for sure, I bet those rainy days will come in the moment you don't expect it. But if you develop the mindset of, okay, how can I be a good steward with my money? How can I diligently make it sure for it to work out for me? How can I pay myself first? Whenever I get any income, how can I set up something which is aside for me? Now, growing up in Italy, Italy has a mindset of saving. Everybody saves. But then they save the money and they keep it and keep it in the banks and all those things, which then the money loses value because of inflation. And growing up, I realized, okay, budgeting, my mom taught me that. I'm good at it. But now, what's the next level? The next level was to start on finding ways on how to invest it in a smarter way. So I had to shift my mindset growing up with my dad telling me we can't afford it, it's too expensive, to developing more and more the healthy mindset of my mom of, okay, is it in the budget? Is it something that we have planned? We cannot just wake up and be excited and just go and buy anything. Is it planned? Is it budgeted? What are we going to do? So yes, I grew up in a mindset where there was this contradiction always. My mom was planning and budgeting. My dad was always, no, we can't afford it. We can't do it.
I say, wow, that is a different way of looking at things. So I think you've learned and adapted what probably you've taken what your mom taught you to the next level. So thanks for sharing that with us. How was school like growing up?
Well, I can tell you that I was a kind of a nerd. I mean, I loved to study. I remember that while my friends in the afternoons were wasting time in bars and playing and sports bars and everything, I was spending my afternoons in my books. I found out that books were my kind of oasis, refuge. So I had to go and hide into my books, and I was devouring books and reading. And this had an impact on my social life because in the age of teenager, I didn't live fully my teenager age. I lived my teenager period of time a little bit later. So I kind of had a, not a progress, but moving step backwards because I realized, wait, I missed so much. So let me get on and do crazy stuff. So between my 18 and 24, I did most of the crazy stuff I should have done when I was a kid, but I was spending time studying and working out. So education was a great element, but then I always realized that the academic world is only preparing us to go and do jobs. Shortly, they're not going to be there anymore. So for example, I was studying law and I realized like, great, but I don't want to go and defend or go and work for somebody who has money, and I have to create a big, good, beautiful lie in order for him to make it through. So it wasn't matching my ethical principles. So I dropped it down, and I started on my first business when I was 17. Legally, I could not do it, so I had somebody else sign the papers, and obviously things didn't go the right way because I had no control. And the turning point in my education was when I hired a coach. I hired a coach when I was 23 the first time. And that was a turning point because I was keeping on in a loophole, repeating the same mistakes, even making them bigger and bigger. And my ego was saying, I know, I know, I know. Well, I didn't know anything. And the moment when you realize that I know that I don't know, that's the moment that you set yourself free. And that's the moment when I started asking for help. And I realized one thing. I realized one thing. Most of the times we do not ask for help because we have a concept that asking for help, it means that you are weak.
Yeah, I hear you.
I said, you realize that asking for help is because you are strong enough and you want to go further and faster.
Yeah.
And that was a turning point.
Absolutely. I remember, I just, thinking about what you just said. If you want to learn what someone learned in 10, 15 years, it's about getting someone to guide you along the way. And you can learn that within hours, sometimes within weeks, you're done, basically. So I like that. You started your real business at the age 23. Can you share what inspired you to take the entrepreneurial path and how that led you to your career in high performance coaching?
Well, I realized, actually, it is really interesting because I was at uni and I had failed already a couple of other businesses. And when I was at uni, I was there thinking, okay, so my professor is earning 10,000 euro a month. So he's making 120K a year. I mean, it's going to take him about 10 years to make a million. There must be a faster way to do that. Then I realized, I realized that whenever you have a salary, you have a cap on yourself. Instead of getting as a business owner, or even better, as an investor, there is no level of cap. You choose what amount. So that's the moment where I decided I never want to be an employee. All my other friends, even my brother, all of them did all the steps. They went to uni, they graduated, they got a good job, they got a mortgage for a house that still now they're paying and they're trying.
Correct.
So I realized that the fastest way for you to to live your life in the fullest
Mm-hmm.
is to have your own business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number one, because having your own business allows you to discover yourself.
Yeah.
You can never discover yourself if you are working for somebody else. Now, I'm
Yeah.
not telling everybody to drop your jobs and go and open a business, but it's all about mindset. The entrepreneur mindset is a mindset that allows you to identify problems, find solutions how to overcome them, build up a team, and start adding value in the market. This is the principle. And I love that.
I like that formula because what you're saying there resonate with me, actually. For me, I see it that way, as well as looking at my manager working long, long hours, traveling countries to countries, and thinking she's doing all this work, but only to earn this amount of money. And I said to myself, imagine if she was doing this for her own business, right? There's no cap, as you've just said. She can earn as much as she could possibly want, basically. So I really resonate that. It's all about you wanting to take control of your own future and control of where you want to be in the future. But working for someone, I don't think will get you there. You might want to get experience and then walk away from it and do your own thing. That would allow you. But discovering yourself, that's a very key you've talked about there. Because once you started your business, you're going to be stretched out, going through your superpowers to extract things to make it work. And it really gets you to be in a position where you can control your future. I really like that question. So let's look at high performance coaching, because that's what you, some of the businesses that you run. How do you define high performance coaching, and what sets it apart from other form of coaching?
Okay, first of all, I respect all the other forms of coaching because there are niches and specific areas that you may need to work on. But the reason why I dived into high performance coaching is always because of the question, how is it possible that that person has achieved those results? What has made him do it? What type of mindset, what type of preparation, what type of knowledge, what type of connections did they develop in order to achieve a remarkable result? So I dived into that. And by diving into that, I realized that it all depends on me. And there are certain elements that are the foundations of high performance. Number one is your movement. How do you move? How do you show up yourself? For example, Rahim, if you go to a meeting, and in this meeting, it's an important meeting, and the person you are negotiating that deal is shakes his hand in a lousy way with no energy, immediately you have a perspective of, okay, I'm going to close this deal really quickly. Oh, wait a minute, I don't want to do a deal with this person. Why? Because of his posture, because of his move, because of how he's showing up externally.
Yeah.
And then another element is memory. You see, most of us, because something didn't work out in one area, we then create a constant hard disk. So every time we go to a meeting, we always have a flashback. Oh, last time the meeting with Bob didn't go the right way. Now I'm going to meet Rahim. It's going to happen the same thing. So most of the times, our past memory is conditioning the way we act. Another element is our message. How is our communication? How is my internal private communication? Because let me tell you one thing. The most important conversation you have during the day is with yourself. What are you telling yourself? Are you telling yourself, come on, Moses, you have overcome that, you can also do this. Come on, Moses, what you said was total BS. Change it. Because your private conversation reflects your external conversation. And then the last element, the fourth element, is measure. You cannot manage what you don't measure.
True.
So what do I mean by that? These are the four elements that allowed me to work with Yvette Goranova, a karate competitor of a small country, Bulgaria, who went from 8 months of zero results. And on the last day of getting the ticket to go to Tokyo, exactly 50 days before the Olympic Games, she managed to get the last ticket. And
wow.
I worked with her only 1 hour and a half.
Wow.
In 1 hour and a half, we managed to shift all the 8 months of the past memory, all the auto-sabotaging conversation she had inside, and we managed to get the ticket. And then we worked on going to Tokyo. And at the end of the story, fast forwarding, she got the gold Olympic medal in karate. The first gold Olympic medal in the history of the Olympic Games. And also mentioned here in the book, there she is.
Oh, bless her.
There she is. And so I end up working with athletes, with celebrities. Sometimes also I receive calls from politicians that need something. So I believe that high performance coaching is the fastest way for you to get out and develop the potential that is sleeping inside of you.
Fantastic.
Now, let me be clear. As a coach, I don't do anything special. But as a coach, I allow you to bring out what you've got inside. And the only thing I do is give you perspectives. And then you need to take ownership and decide what to do. And
Brilliant.
A tip for everybody, if your coach is telling you what to do, then you become addicted to your coach. My clients are not addicted to me. Actually, my clients come, work with me, go out there in the world, and then when they need, they come back. They are not addicted to me because I provide the tools, I give them perspectives, and then they take ownership of their decisions.
Fantastic.
And that's when they get into their high performance.
I love that. I love that, Moses. You break that down really, really nicely. So you focus on helping clients remove self-sabotaging beliefs. Can you share a common form of self-sabotage you see and how you help clients overcome it?
Yeah. One of the biggest elements of self-sabotaging that I see in my clients is their pattern of communication with themselves. For example, there was a mother during COVID who called me and said, "Hey, Moses, I really don't know what's going on with my son. My son is always down. My son is always depressed and he's always negative. I really don't know what to do. What do you think we should do?" I looked at her with a big smile. I said, "Well, first of all, look at how you are talking. Look at how you are acting. And let me tell you, you cannot expect from a tree of lemons, you expect strawberries. We need to change the roots. So first of all, how are you talking about your son and what are the words you're using? What is your body language? What is your physiology when you're talking about your son?" That reflects. And the mother had a moment where she said, "Oh my goodness." And that is the aha moment I need. The opening doors when you have a realization. And because now you have the realization, you've got a breakthrough. What is a breakthrough? A breakthrough is a moment in time where you say enough is enough.
Absolutely.
So the biggest self-sabotaging I see working with thousands of people across the world, doesn't matter which country you are from, it's mainly your self-talk. In your closet, when you are yourself, what are you saying? And I realized this by myself when I was growing up. How many of you have been, for example, you have this bottle, and while you're opening it and drinking, it spills on you or it falls down, and you say, "Oh, look how dumb you are. How could you be so stupid?" Well, that is a self-sabotaging talk. What do you think your cells are going to receive? Your cells are going to receive inside the message that, "Oh, we are always dumb. We always make a mess." And now whenever you have to do something, that self-sabotaging music will come on and play. So when I work with athletes or when I work with business owners, one of the first things we do, we go and work on what are you telling yourself? Because actually, we are constantly hypnotizing ourselves with our own words. First thing I do, we break the pattern, realization. And once we realize that, we can interrupt that music, change the disc, and play our favorite music that we would like to listen.
Fantastic. I love that, Moses. You break that down really, really well. Thank you. You have worked closely with industry giants like Robert Kiyosaki, Gary Vaynerchuk, Tony Robbins. How have these interactions influenced your coaching philosophy and approach?
Oh, massively. I mean, they have been a massive impact with me. Beginning of November, I had the privilege of spending a couple of days with Robert Kiyosaki, and he was reminding me a couple of things. And in July, I was also with Tony Robbins. Actually, I had the privilege of running day five of his Unleash the Power Within in Birmingham. And let me tell you one thing. Your environment is stronger than your will. What do I mean? Surround yourself with people who are playing the game bigger than you. Because people who play the game bigger than you, they won't criticize you. You receive critics from people who are playing smaller than you.
Yeah.
And they're always judging you. They're always saying something. Oh, look at what you did. That podcast, you did that. You should have worn that. You should have said that. Who do you think you are? Blah, blah, blah. But someone who's playing the game bigger will tell you, hey, great, 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 great work. Wonderful, wonderful. There's another level. So playing the game and rubbing your shoulders with people who play the game bigger than you always stretches you. And you realize, well, I thought I was doing good. These guys are playing another level.
Yeah, they're in a different game.
I always love it. Yeah. But then it's also a game and a league that you can play into. Actually, you should strive to be in that league. That's where you're meant to be. So these giants in the industry of personal development and in business, they have been a massive, massive, massive impact. And whenever I have the chance, I'm willing to spend time with them. I remember somebody was saying, oh, Warren Buffett charges $2 million to have a dinner with him. Yes, okay. But if you're playing a big game and you want to play a game with them, 2 million compared to spending 1 hour, 2 hours with Warren Buffett, one tip can literally make a hundredfold of that investment. That
of course, absolutely.
So it's never how much it costs. It's how much will it cost you not doing it?
Wow, I like that. I like that. Beautiful. So how is it like working with one of the industry giants, Tony Robbins? How is it like?
It's always constantly challenging. What do I mean by that? I truly believe that if we are not putting ourselves in a spot that stretches your comfort, that makes you do things that are not comfortable, that challenges constantly your belief, you're not growing. Yeah. And if you're not growing, you're literally dying.
Yeah.
And the moment where you think that, oh, I have arrived, I have made it, and you relax, let me tell you something, life is still moving ahead. The moment you stop and par, gaining back the momentum is going to be such a hard work. And whenever I have the chance to spend some time with Tony, I'm always mesmerized by the fact that this guy is continuously, constantly evolving. He has been doing this for 47 years, and yet he's still always improving and moving forward. So then it becomes, I mean, if somebody was already successful, he's constantly improving, who am I, me, small as I am, to think that I have arrived?
Wow.
There is more. There is more.
I love that. Yeah, I love that. I love that. As you are on a mission to train over 1,000 people to become coaches and trainers by 2025, what advice would you give someone who's looking to start their career in coaching?
My advice is don't do it. It's not for you. Don't do it. If you want to do it just for external human gratification or for money. Because let me tell you one thing, the coaching and training industry, and this is a research done by Harvard, in the next 3 to 4 years, it's going to be an industry that's going to be producing $1 billion a day.
Wow.
That's Harvard saying that. Mm-hmm. Because more and more people are going to drop down from uni and from regular academic curriculums simply because they're not effective. So coaching and training industry is going to grow and expand more and more. But what I want you to do is, what I want to tell you and challenge you is, don't do it. Don't do it. If your reasons are not in line with a higher purpose. What do I mean? Focus on adding value. Focus on helping. Focus on growing. What I always say, impact drives income. The more impact you make, the more money you will make.
Yeah.
Because let me tell you, it's a lonely journey. It's a journey of constant questioning yourself. It's a journey of constant challenges. Because a client never the same. So what you have done with somebody, you cannot repeat it with somebody else. You need to find another tool. You need to understand. You need to dive deep into human behavior. So it's not something standard. So you need to fall in love with the fact that you want to give. That's why my book, I called it More, Become More. Become more so you can give more. And is the principal philosophy of coaching. Don't do it if you don't have these reasons. It's not
I love that. How can high-performance coaching help individuals look to generate passive income and level up in their financial journey?
Oh, I believe it's the key point. Because if you don't understand the potential that you've got inside, whatever thing you go and do, wherever you put in your money, won't bear fruit. What do I mean by that? The most important investment you can do, it's not in real estate, in that stock, or in that compounding interest. The most important investment you can do is in yourself. And once you have invested in yourself, now anything you do will now bear fruit. So if you want to create passive income, you want to create generational wealth, it's important for you to invest in the most important asset, which is what is between these two ears and what is in here, your emotions and your mind. If you don't invest, first of all, in these areas, whatever you invest, your pounds, your dollars, won't bear fruit.
Fantastic. Brilliant. I love that. I love that answer. We're nearly there. What message do you have for the Black and ethnic minority community about investing in personal growth and seeking high-performance coaching?
First thing I want to say is, let not this label define who you are. You see, society likes to put on labels. Minority, ethnic origin, and put labels. Let not a label define who you are.
Yeah.
Allow yourself to define who you are and what you want to be. Fantastic. And as Nelson Mandela used to say, I love what Nelson Mandela used to say. Nelson Mandela used to say one thing. Education is the most powerful weapon. You want to get out of that label. You want to get out of that stigma that everybody has put out there. Educate yourself.
Right,
I'm not
talking
about formal education. Learn, educate, develop, and get on to another level. That's when, whenever you go on to do anything, you can then create generational wealth. Wow. And let me tell you one thing. You may have not been born in a rich family, but it's your responsibility that out of you a rich family comes out.
Fantastic. I
Because you
love
cannot
that.
control. You cannot control where you come from, but then you can automatically take care of what's going to get out of you.
Fantastic. I love that. I love that. In your experience, how does one's cultural background influence their approach to personal business growth? And how do you address this in your coaching?
Well, first of all, I address it in with two of the strongest forces we've got on nature, which is pain and pleasure. Mm-hmm. As all human beings, we are running away from a pain and we're heading towards a pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we need to leverage on that pain.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it's not painful enough, you stay there comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm reminded of story of the dog which was mourning and mourning and mourning, and then somebody says, what's wrong with your dog? Oh, nothing. Yes, but every day I come, he's mourning and mourning and mourning. Oh yeah, he's got a nail on his feet. Yeah, okay, but can't you remove it? Nah, it's not painful enough for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's just there mourning and mourning and mourning. So pain is an extreme force.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the time it's pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
You see it as too far. Oh no, that's too good to be true.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're suffering and you are in pain,
mm-hmm.
you don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to get rid of it.
Of
so whenever I'm working, I always leverage pain and pleasure. How painful situation. How painful is it for you to see that you cannot take care of your family? How painful is it for you to see that you cannot provide for your elderly parents? How painful is it for you that you cannot build the joy, the family, the love that you want? Now, that pain will make you take action.
Absolutely. Wow, I like because that.
Because you may not know the pleasure,
mm-hmm.
but then you know the price of that pain.
Yeah, you're right. Just to add on to that, basically, most successful people that I've seen, I've hung around with, are people that came from pain.
Yes.
Because they're running away from pain. That then becomes their inspiration and motivation to get them to where they want to go. So I really, really like that answer. Brilliant, brilliant answer. Let's go for the quick fire round question. These are very quick and snappy. If one word or two word, that will do. What was the worst advice you remember receiving?
Worst advice?
Yeah.
The worst advice is, oh, doesn't matter. It's just fun. Just do it.
Best advice you remember receiving?
Best advice I received was stop blaming it and start owning it.
Your biggest regret?
You have created everything. My biggest regret is that I could not see my father in his last days.
Oh, sorry to hear that. Is there something you believe that lots of people disagree with?
Yes. I believe that there is a force bigger than us. Call it God, call it nature, call it divine intelligence. There is something which is bigger than us. And the gift that this entity, God, universe, nature gave us is life. Our response and our gift back to this is what we do with our life. We are not a casualty.
Fantastic. What is the best book you've ever read or listened to?
The best book I've ever read is T. Harv Eker, The Millionaire Mind, The Secrets of a Millionaire Mind.
Fantastic. Does money change you?
No, money is just an amplifier of what I am already. If I'm an asshole and I have more money, I'm going to be more asshole and nasty. If I'm a giver, a lover, and a joyful person, money will just amplify those qualities even more. Money is just an amplifier.
Does money make you happy?
Money provides you the tools, the lifestyle that then can lead to happiness. But in itself, money is not happiness.
Is there something you used to strongly believe you recently changed your mind on?
Something I strongly believed which I recently changed my mind on.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that people can change.
Wow, okay. Brilliant. I like that. I like that. So, is there something that is fundamentally wrong in the world that you would like to change? What would that
Yes.
be?
The fact that we have become selfish.
Wow, I
We
like that.
should be more self first instead of selfish, because when we put ourselves first, then we are able to take care of others. We are looking at, I don't want to get political at all, but we are looking in front of us things that are happening which are not at all tolerable, at all. At all, at all. There's a lack of humanity. And the reason why there's a lack of humanity is because all each one of us is just seeing, thinking of their own garden. So garden will not exist if you don't take care of it and you don't allow others also to take care of their own garden.
Wow, that is beautiful. That is beautiful, man. This podcast is called Property Investment Blueprint. What does investment blueprint means to you?
And can you repeat that? I lost you a moment. Sorry.
Okay. This podcast is called Property Investment Blueprint.
Yes.
What does investment blueprint means to you?
Yeah, it means basically a blueprint is a set of rules and beliefs that allow you to move on in investments. So, for example, we all have blueprints in us. And blueprints are certain of patterns and beliefs that then allow you to execute in a certain way in life. So in order for you to be a successful investor, you either need to change certain blueprints or adapt new blueprints. If not, it will be just repeating the same level of mistakes or experiences that you're already experiencing.
Wow, I like that. Thanks very much for sharing that. Final one. If there was only one person you'd love me to interview in my podcast, who would that person be and why?
One person that I would like you to interview. I think Robert Kiyosaki.
Okay, good. Good. Thank you. Thank
He's
you.
very contradict is a very he's a very contradictory character, but he has come to an age, 76 years, that he speaks with no filters and he says the raw truth as it is. And sometimes the world needs to listen to that.
Wow, okay. I'd love you to recommend him to me. I'd love to interview him. That would be absolutely amazing. But yeah, what an amazing way to end this session. That was an absolute great moment with you, Moses. I appreciate everything you've just shared with me. It's motivational, inspiring. If someone is interested in joining your program, maybe buying your book or putting their name down for your upcoming book, how would they contact you? And where should we follow you? And where are you hanging out on social media?
Well, I'm hanging on everywhere in my social media. You can just search for Moses Naloka and you can find me in most of the social media platforms. If you want to know more about me, there are these two books. You can find them on my website or you can find them on Amazon. And I have a gift for your audience and
Brilliant,
make sure
thank
to
you.
make sure that they receive it and follow Rahim. He's going to give you a link, and that's my gift to you. It's a free video course I'm giving to you as my gift towards you.
Fantastic, thank you so much. We very much appreciate that. So, what was the name of your website for those who may be interested in purchasing the book?
MosesNaloka.com.
Okay. Is that MOSES?
Yes.
NALOCCA.com.
Yes.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Moses. You've been amazing. You've been inspirational. You've been literally amazing guest in our podcast. Thank you for helping people transform their life through high performance coaching inspiration. So we really appreciate having you on. Thank you. Thank you. And we look
Thank you
forward
so
to seeing
much.
you again.
Thank you so much.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
That's all for today. And thanks to our guests for sharing their property investment journey with us. It has been a truly inspirational story to me, and I hope it has been an inspiration to you too to take a leap of faith to start or scale your property investment adventure. In the meantime, if you'd like to share your investment journey, I have made it really easy. Just go to rahimbad.com/guest, fill out a short questionnaire to sign up, and we will get in touch. Whilst you're there, sign up for my monthly newsletter to get your property investment news and updates, or connect with me in Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Rahim Ba, and TikTok, Rahim Ba 101. Thanks again for listening. Don't forget to smash the like button and leave me a review wherever you're listening or watching from. I shall see you next time.